his knife. Jesus brought me comfort, he brought me to the light. He took away my sorrow and made my burdens light. He's everything to me. If it wasn't for my Lord, tell me what would I do? What would I do? What would I do? If it wasn't for my Lord, tell me what would I do? He's everything to me. He's water in dry places, he's bread in the starving land. He's my rock and shelter, he holds me by the hand. When all the world forsakes me, close by my side he stands. He's everything to me. If it wasn't for my Lord, tell me what would I do? What would I do? What would I do? If it wasn't for my Lord, tell me what would I do? He's everything to me. I must surely die. He will be my gateway to that home on high. In that golden city, there'll be no more goodbye. He's everything to me. If it wasn't for my Lord, tell me what would I do? What would I do? What would I do? If it wasn't for my Lord, tell me what would I do? He's everything to me.
In 1968, there was a song that really spoke to my heart. I was 19 years old, and every time I heard this particular song, it just really spoke to me. Because you see, the song was all about being care and worry-free. The song was entitled Good Vibrations. I'm sure you remembered. It went like this.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
I'm picking up good vibrations.
She's giving me the excitations.
I'm picking up good vibrations.
She's giving me the
excitations. She's somehow closer now.
All right, let's all come back now to 2015. That was a little trip that we took there at a time that was for all of us a time that was care and worry free compared to what we're dealing with now in all probability. Nearly 50 years ago, and it did represent that to me, and I think it represented that to a lot of us. And if that's not the song that represents that to you, there were songs like that in your life, songs that reminded us. When we hear them now, we think about a time when, wow, man, was I worry-free. Well, today's message will show us that God is a shepherd in our lives. And if we understand this truth, that he is our shepherd, and we can trust him, then we can rest in the fact that he hears our needs and our concerns, and he takes care of them and takes care of us. The Lord is a shepherd, and the Lord wants to be your shepherd. We begin a new series this morning from the 23rd Psalm. When I think about good vibrations, I think about the 23rd Psalm. When the chips are down, times are tough, the going's rough, the news is bad, and your world is about to collapse and the sky is black, there's a natural yearning, isn't there, in all of us? a natural yearning for and a turning to this psalm because it gives us good vibrations. As many of you know, the Highland has a ministry to Big Sandy Regional Detention Center inmates. We've been going out there now for over a dozen years. And as I was walking down the corridor just last week, an inmate from solitary confinement behind the iron door said to me, "Preacher, where is that in the Bible that says, 'Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil'?" He was referring to the 23rd Psalm. And in his particular situation, that psalm was going to bring him some comfort and hopefully some good vibrations. You see, reading this psalms brings this psalm brings healing for the hurting, hope for the hopeless, help for the helpless, encouragement for the discouraged, and strength for the weak. Worry is something we all are familiar with, aren't we? 3,000 years ago, a man by the name of David wrote one sentence that should forever be a roadblock on the road to worry. This sentence is a part of a song in the longest book in the Bible. Psalms is a collection of Hebrew songs. There are 150 of them. And of the 150 songs in the collection, the 23rd song, because a psalm is a song, is the most popular and the best known. I call this David's greatest hit. It stayed on the charts longer than any other song written in history. Now, as we begin to study this theme today, and for the next 6 weeks, we'll be in this line of thinking, the 23rd Psalm. I want to remind you that every passage of Scripture has a key to its understanding. And in Psalm 23, David has hung the key right on the front door. Verse 1 is not only the first verse in the psalm, it's the foundational verse. And everything else he has to say follows from the truth in this first verse. In this verse, David gives us three reasons why faith ought to be in and fear ought to be out. Did you get that? Faith ought to be in and fear ought to be out. Three things in the lesson's yours. Number one, God can meet your needs. This entire psalm is based on the imagery of the Lord being a shepherd and the people of God being sheep. So we read in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, the analogy of the relationship of God to his people being a shepherd to the sheep is found throughout the Bible. Did you know that? For instance, in Isaiah 40 and verse 11, the Bible says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." In Ezekiel 34, verse 23, "I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd." Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And so, empires and countries throughout the centuries have adopted various animals to symbolize their natural spirit. For instance, the United States adopted the eagle. Russia adopted the bear. Great Britain adopted the lion. Now, each one of those animals symbolizes strength, power, independence. But God chose to represent his people as sheep, sheep who need a shepherd. Did you know sheep are mentioned over 500 times in the Bible? That's more than any other animal. Now, some might be offended that we're compared to sheep. You know, sheep are dumb. There's no easy way to say that. There's no easy way to hear that. Sheep are not smart. Maybe that's a little better. You know, we've seen in circuses, for instance, we've seen lion tamers, and there's the lion tamer with the whip and the chair. We've seen tiger tamers, I guess you'd call them. But I've never seen a sheep tamer. Have you? I've never seen a ferocious sheep who had to be controlled with a whip and a chair. So sheep are really not anything that threatens us. And they're really not smart enough to. As we work through this psalm, you're going to see that. Don't be offended by it. Rather view it as the good shepherd taking care that all of our needs are met. I want to focus on the fact that God is compared to a shepherd, and this is a tremendously important and wonderful encouragement. Because being a shepherd is a 24-hour-day job. You see, the shepherd is totally responsible for the sheep because the sheep depend entirely on the shepherd for 10% of their sustenance, 20%, 30%. No, everything, 100%. The sheep depend upon the shepherd for food, for water, for shelter, for safety. You see, being a shepherd is an around-the-clock kind of job. That ought to start making you feel better. That ought to start giving you good vibrations right there to know that God is always on the clock. Somebody said, you don't have to stay up, lose sleep over worry. Go on to bed. Go to sleep. God's awake. He'll take care of it for you. And we say that flippantly, but it's true. I want you to notice carefully that the shepherd is the Lord. Now, always remember that when you see the Lord in raised capital letters, and if you're following along in your Bible, Psalm 23, you'll see that. It's referring to the Hebrew name Jehovah. That name is used over 4,000 times in the Bible, and it's the most respected name for God in all Scripture. The name Jehovah literally means I am, I always have been, and I always will be. This name was so sacred to the Hebrew people that whenever they were reading their Bible publicly, they would always substitute another name for this name. Only one person could say this name out loud, and that was the high priest. And then he could only say it in one place. That was in the Holy of Holies. Then he could only say it once a year when he stood before God on behalf of the people for their sins. This God, this sovereign God. I read years ago about the scribes when they were translating the scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures, they would stop whenever they came to the name Jehovah. They would stop and bathe and then go back and start writing again. My. This God, this sovereign God of this universe, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and always near us, get this, folks, is our shepherd. I'm getting those good vibrations right now. Now, the reason that truth is so magnificent, the reason that that truth is so magnificent is this. The welfare of the sheep is the work of the shepherd. The sheep are not responsible to meet their needs. Did you know that? This is the responsibility of the shepherd. Now, think with me. God has made himself responsible to meet your needs. He has everything. He is everywhere. He can do anything. And therefore, any need you have, big or small, he's guaranteed to meet it. But this shepherd is no ordinary shepherd. The word Lord speaks of deity. But the word shepherd speaks of humanity. The one David wrote about is both divine and human. He is both God and man. Does that remind you of anyone? This shepherd is none other than the God-man, Jesus Christ. That's why in John 10 and verse 11, Jesus is called the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, he's called the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, he's called the chief shepherd. Therefore, when Jesus becomes your Savior, Jehovah becomes your shepherd. When Jehovah becomes your shepherd, he becomes responsible to meet all your needs. Listen to me, folks. Don't miss this first point. God can meet your needs. There's the second thing I want you to see. God will meet your needs. The full name that is used here for God is one of seven names used for God in the Bible. Did you know that? He is called here not only by his personal name, Jehovah, but by the more descriptive name, Jehovah Ra, which means, literally, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, you may or may not have known that in the Old Testament, God's names describe what he does for us. And so God's name, God has many different descriptive words that describe, in fact, what he will do for us. For instance, Jehovah Tiskada means our righteousness, and there's many places in Scripture that you can find this. Jehovah Mekadishkim means he sanctifies you. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord heals. Jehovah Jireh, he sees, he provides. Jehovah Nissa, my banner, on and on and on it goes. God's names are descriptive and tells us about what he does for us. So Jehovah Raha means literally the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord my shepherd. Now, what does a shepherd do? Well, he guides the sheep to shelter. He guards the sheep from danger, and he gives sheep their food. In other words, he meets how many of their needs? All of their needs. That's why David goes on to say, I shall not want. Now, the Hebrew word for want literally means lack. Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 37, verse 25 says it like this, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Now, did you know there's a New Testament counterpart for Psalm 23, verse 1? There is a verse in the New Testament that is a counterpart to Psalm 23 in the Old Testament. It's Philippians 4, and verse 19. Very familiar passage. You'll know it immediately. It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of us misunderstand that verse. It does not say he will meet all your greed. He said need. It does say he will meet all your need, not part of your need, but all your need. Now think about this. If you knew that for the rest of your life, all of your needs were going to be met, why would you worry about anything? Well, the obvious answer is you wouldn't. And yet, we do worry every day. Why? There's only one way all of your needs are not going to be met. Listen to me. The only way that all of your needs are not going to be met is if God lied. If God lies, then all of your needs won't be met. You see, that's what worry does. Worry calls God a liar. God desires to meet all of your needs. God says that if you will allow him to be your shepherd, then you will not lack for one thing. If we trust him to be faithful in this promise, there's no need to worry. There's a fellow by the name of Stephen Ambrose, some time ago wrote a book entitled Undaunted Courage. It's a story of the Lewis and Clark expedition that opened up the American West. Thomas Jefferson realized that when Lewis and Clark reached the Pacific Ocean, they would be without money, clothes, or provisions of any kind. To deal with that situation, Thomas Jefferson did something never before done in the history of this country, and, by the way, never done since. He provided a letter of credit for Lewis, authorizing him to draw on any agency of the United States government anywhere in the world for anything he needed. Here's what Jefferson wrote in the letter that he gave to Clark, Lewis and Clark. Quote, I also ask of the councils, agents, merchants, and citizens of any nation to furnish you with those supplies which your necessities may call for, and to give more entire satisfaction and confidence to those who may be disposed to aid you. I, Thomas Jefferson, President of the United States of America, have written this letter of general credit for you with my own hand and signed it with my name. Folks, this will go down in history as the most unlimited letter of credit ever issued by an American president. That is exactly what God has done for his people. He has given us over 7,000 promises in his word, each of them a blank check. promising that whatever happens, whenever we come up against a real need in our life, he will meet that need. Now, I know many of you listening are saying, well, I had a need one time in my life, and I asked God about it. I asked God to help me with it, and he didn't meet it. I want to tell you right now, unequivocally, that is not true. Are you calling me a liar, preacher? No, no, I'm telling you, your premise is wrong. You see, if God didn't meet it, then it wasn't a need. I want you to remember something. If you have a real need, God will meet that need. If God doesn't meet it, then it was not a real need. It might have been a want, a real bad want, but not a need. The shepherd responds to the sheep's needs. All right, how we doing? Getting those good vibrations yet? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God can meet your needs. God will meet your needs. And finally, God will meet your greatest need. He's promised to. Oh, yes, he has promised to do it. Now, there's one little word in the verse that makes the entire passage operable for you and for me. In fact, it's the most powerful word in this psalm, and it's certainly the sweetest word possibly, and that word is my. My, oh my. If you can't say my, this psalm is not for you. That little word is the golden key that unlocks the door to God's treasure chest of blessing. You see, you may know God as shepherd. You may even believe God is the shepherd, but the question is, can you say the Lord is my shepherd? There was a gathering in London years ago of a group of people having a party. Now, in the party, in the company of people that were there, there was a noted actor and a very old gospel preacher. Someone suggested that the gifted actor recite the 23rd Psalm. This actor, with a beautiful voice, perfect articulation, and great drama, recited the psalm. When he finished, the crowd exploded with applause. Someone then asked that the old preacher also recite the psalm. Well, the pastor was a little embarrassed about it. He knew he couldn't measure up to this actor, but he finally yielded to the pressure. He had very little of the actor's, elocution, his ability to deliver. Certainly didn't have any of his dramatic flair. But as he began to recite the psalm, it was obvious he wasn't talking from his head. He was talking from his heart. When he finished, no one clapped, but there wasn't a dry eye in the house. The actor got back up and made this statement. He said, "My friends, I appreciate your applause, but there was one big difference between me and this dear man. I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd." An amazing thing happens in your relationship to God when you become like that. When you come to know him as your shepherd, when you say, "My shepherd," he says, "My sheep." You see, saying "my shepherd" is the supreme act of faith. But when he says "my sheep," that's the supreme act of grace. There's only one way to know that the Lord is your shepherd, and that is to make sure that the shepherd is your Lord. Is he? You see, you can have a personal relationship with God as your shepherd. To me, all sheep look the same. I can't see any difference in them. But did you know they don't look the same to a shepherd? I was reading how a good shepherd can locate one sheep out of a flock of 2,500 in less than 5 minutes. He can, by the way, sheep holds its head, or by the way he bleats, or by the way he walks. He can even look at the ground where the sheep has been laying down and tell by the condition of the grass, or by the droppings they leave behind, or by the drops of blood, or even by one look in their eyes if they are sick. The shepherd has a personal relationship with every sheep. I'm told a mother can locate her child's cry in a room filled with children. A husband can identify his wife's laugh in a crowd. Listen to me, friend. This shepherd wants to have a personal relationship with you. But understand clearly, the Lord cannot become your shepherd until the shepherd becomes your Lord. Has there been a point in your life where he has become Lord? You've turned from your life of sin. You've acknowledged him as Lord. You've walked down to a creek bank or down into a baptistry, been buried with him, risen with him. If there's never been a moment where that has taken place in your life, he's not your Lord. And if he's not your Lord, he can never be your shepherd. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, then he is not your shepherd. Because you see, the Lord is my shepherd. The beautiful thing about the shepherd is that he doesn't just give us everything we need. He is everything we need. If you're hungry, he's the bread of life. If you're thirsty, he's the living water. If you're in the dark, he's the light of the world. If you're lost, he's the way. If you need it, he has it. If he doesn't have it, you really don't need it. But that phrase raises a question. How do you make the Lord your shepherd? It's so simple. First, acknowledge him as shepherd. Second, accept him as shepherd. Third, acclaim him as shepherd. Let me close by telling you a true story about a little boy who was desperately ill. The doctors had told the parents that they'd done everything they could for him. They sent him home to die. The parents called their pastor, asked if he'd come over. He came over late that night to visit the boy, who was in and out of consciousness. He was really unable to speak and never even acknowledged the pastor was there. The pastor was alone with the child in the room upstairs, left late that night. He got a call early the next morning that the boy had died. He went over to the house to console the parents, prayed with them, wept with them, read scripture to them. After a while, the parents asked the pastor if he could explain something that had happened. They said, in the hours before our son died, and at the time of his death, he was holding the ring finger of his left hand with his right hand, and he died in that position. Do you happen to know why? Pastor, with a broad smile on his face, said, I wanted to talk to your son, who I knew was going to die, about the importance of being a Christian and knowing Jesus. But I wanted to speak to him in a child's language so that he would clearly understand. He said, I took your son's left hand and held his thumb and said, thee, because we're talking about one of a kind. Then I held his index finger and said, Lord, because the Lord cares for us. Then the middle finger, and I said, because God himself is right here. He said, for his ring finger, I said, my, because it takes a personal relationship with Christ to go to heaven. He said, for the last finger, I said, shepherd, for he is the one who died for us, who cares for us, and who will take us to heaven, and his name is Jesus. He looked at the parents and said, your little boy didn't say anything, but he heard me, because before he died, the reason he had his hand around his finger was to say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. My friend, if you can say the Lord is my shepherd, you have no need to worry and no need to fear. The good vibrations can roll because he's everything you need. He would want me to remind you of that today. Until next Lord's Day, remember, keep looking to Jesus.